We are going to restart. Just wait a few more seconds so that everyone takes their places. So, before introducing Oscar for the next session, I would like just to highlight a few modifications in the planning. So, originally we had a coffee break at 10 to 2, noting that it's half past two at the moment. We will do it differently now. So basically, we will invite Oscar to make this last presentation, and then we have a long discussion after that. I will invite some of the previous speakers so to be part of the table so that we can deal with some of the suggestion answers coming from the audience. And of course, we will try to keep in mind why we are here today is to make the system working in the future and also to enable construction products to be marked in the European market with the support of harmonized standards. So, and at the very end, then we have a conclusion. So, Cinzia Missiroli, she will join us for the conclusions just next to the discussion. And we will finalize then with a coffee for a finalization of the event. So, then before you leave, you can also have some time to network and to still exchange with some of the speakers and of the participants in the event. So, this session now is somehow a little bit mixed, I would say. So we are playing between the current system, the future system. How do we solve some of the discovered problems? So whenever we revise a standard, we discover that there are new characteristics. And we, like we discussed this morning, in the past we used to have amendments of the mandates. This is not the solution anymore. So now we need to have a standardization request. Actually, this new process is not new. It should be enforced since 2012, when the standardization regulation has been implemented. So since that moment in time, the standardization request should be the basis for harmonized standards. What Oscar will give us or guide us through is what are the clear points that we need to take in consideration for these standardization requests. Especially if we take into account the new Commission ideas about the exhaustiveness of the harmonized standards and what are the risks and what are the aspects to be taken in consideration. Oscar, the floor is yours. Please guide us. And I'm pretty sure we'll have quite some questions after the presentation.
Yes. And especially if I make any mistake, please, the Commission is here. So don't hesitate to say, no way, this is not true. So I have two big challenges. First, change your mind into a more positive approach after the speech in the morning, which was not so positive. And also try to keep you awake discussing about legal documents and the construction product regulation just after a very nice lunch. So I hope I will manage. I put some pictures in my slides, so I hope if you are really bored, at least you will enjoy the the picture. So, again, our goal in Construction Products Europe was to try to transform the system or to keep the system working, more than transform, really keep the system working. And from the very, very beginning, I think in 2013, we had some presentations in public and everybody said, CPR is not a revolution, it's an evolution. Meaning that we were not obliged to revise our standards. At that time, it was a public message. I think the Commission said that. It was very clear. But the years were just passing through us, and it seems that the situation is not so clear. When we identified also the start having troubles with the citation of standards, one of the comments we always have in our CPR working groups and also coming from our experts, the main problem was always the mandates. The mandates were not clear enough, they were old, they were not really in line with what the standard was requesting with the situation in the industry. But we never took the time to really revise them because the system was more or less working, and you don't revise systems that are more or less working, especially if there is a legal implication on that. So we were working with the mandates, more or less, documents, letters from the commission. There were some troubles, but more or less the system was working. But now we have the feeling that the system is no longer working. So we were doing patchwork in our facade, trying to solve the issues. And now it seems that what we need is to really go to the core, clean it, and start from scratch. When we requested this, we had in mind the idea of revised mandates, but of course it was not the right approach. In 2018, as I said, the only way to do it is now a standardization request. The regulation is 1025. So more or less, it's clear what we have to do, but the process is not easy at all. And one of the actions one of the documents of GIS Action 5 is really going into the details, and this is what I will start explaining. So more or less, the European Commission has some objectives with this idea of the standardization request, moved from the CPD to the CPR, also integrate the acquis of the European Court of Justice, revise the technical content of mandates, the essential characteristic, Basel Requirement 7, we will address later, and also preempt the need for delegated acts for classes and thresholds. And I'm just looking at my notes about the morning with Manfred Kohler. He said, we cannot change a standardization regulation. Yes, we are in line. We cannot change James Elliott. The acquis of the European Court of Justice is there. And we cannot change the interpretation of the Commission of the European Court of Justice. So in principle, this approach is compatible with the situation. So I think we can go forward. Which is the main problem always when you have a legal document? When you have a legal document, you need lawyers. But this is not really only a legal document. This is a technical document because you have a list of essential characteristics, you have assessment methods, you have a lot of information that you need to put in the document. So there is a clear need to involve the industry. But there are also some really clear and important messages. The declaration should be unique at European level. So you cannot have a declaration in your DOP where you have, oh, in Germany is this, in France is this. This was in the CPD more or less allowed, and there was some, this is no longer possible. And this has some implications, especially with Basel Requirement 7. What is the real process? Is in the document, is the famous spaghetti diagram, because it's really very difficult to follow and it has a lot of lines. And I would say that there is no standardization request for the CPR that has gone through all the process. But we have two standardization requests already in stage 3 and 4 at the same time, and we have others in the stage 1. So the idea is that, again, when your standard needs to be revised, and you cannot really fit the content with the mandate, because it's not possible, you need to change in the legal conditions, you should go for the standardization request. And in the standardization request, there is a first step, where you will discuss with the Commission a draft. This is what some industries are already doing. It will be a difficult discussion about all the essential characteristics you need to declare, the assessment methods, if they have to be unique or not. And you will have a quite complex text that will be the starting point of the process. And our view as an industry is that this, the more precise and the more detailed this document is, the less problems you will have in later stages. Because anything that will be written there will be a good reference, which is also good and bad because you can have then, if you want to change it, you will need to go through the process again. And then the difference between this process and the previous process is that really is very clear from the legal point of view, because this document goes in the stages 3 and 4 to the Standing Committee on Construction and to the Committee on Standards. And in the Committee on Standards is also in stage 6 voted. So the member states have an option or has the opportunity to really modify and align the standardization request to the regulatory needs. So once the document is there, is approved by the committee on standards, you will already have integrated the content from the technical point of view and from the industry, and you will have also integrated the requirements from member states. And in the right, you have the SRAC initiative, so SEN also has the chance to participate in this action, okay? So I think the process will really develop a document that probably will be more consistent than what we have. And my recommendation always is to go really to the practical issue. So you need to draft the text according to what you are going to write in your standard. This is more or less easy if you have standards before, if you are working on a consolidation of an existing mandate with standards. The case of the, for example, steel ore is not so clear, the solid fuel stoves, but if you have now a standard in place like insulation, you need to go to the standard because it will be one of the references. It's not so easy for the standardization request where you don't have a list before, like the balustrades, which is something that we may discuss in the future. There is also a chance for SEN to reject the standardization request if they think they cannot deliver, but hopefully the process will be good enough to really clarify all the discussions and all the problems before. And then SEN will deliver a working plan saying, I'm going to deliver in this period of time. This working plan needs to be approved by the commission, you see. And then the TC will have the legal basis for working. Doesn't mean that you need to wait for this point to start your work item to revise your standard. You can already work before. But at this point, you will have the official establishment of the work item, and also you have the clear rules to be integrated. Again, good and bad. If the rules are okay and you can follow, perfect. If you have a problem, it won't be easy because it's supposed to go back to the process. And finally, something that is, in the end, the added value, is that you will have a standard with a list of essential characteristics, and it will be very easy for the HAS consultants and also for the European Commission to check. Okay, this is the list in the standardization request, this is the list in the standard, it match, and that's it. Because now we have continuous discussion in the mandate, it's written structural behavior, and you have compressive strength. It's the same, it's not the same. This is the kind of issues that we are trying to solve or in practice to prevent. Of course, the usual question, time frame, we don't know. It's very difficult because the first stages are technical discussions. So if you receive 300 pages of comments from member states, probably it will take some time to really digest all the comments and transform this into something that makes sense. Of course, it also depends on how you will manage this work in your TC. But in principle, this should be more short-term than the revision of the CPR. So if you, and is according to the CPR, so in principle, this could deliver in a shorter period of time. As we don't know when the CPR will be revised, at least this is reality. This is not just something that may happen or not. And there are some, well, my presentation also addressed some issues. The first is Basel Requirement 7 and Basel Requirement 3. But before, I think there are some findings that we can already share. This document is the standardization request draft. So again, stage 3 in the process for space heating appliances. This is quite an urgent document to be developed by SEM because it has some implications with the eco design. And it is integrated there. So in Basel Requirement 6, you have already the content to really deliver the information for the energy efficiency. And I think this is the right approach, to try to use this tool to really collect all the needs related to the product. There is also Basel Requirement 3, but it's a bit different because this is a stove, so it emits CO2, not because of the material emits CO2, it's because you burn things inside, so it's not exactly the same. But also, I think, is something that we need to consider. And I think one of the crucial issues, and this is coming from the idea of the standardization request needs to be exhaustive, Basel Requirement 7 is there, it's implemented. and it is implemented according to 15804, which is a European assessment method for the sustainability of construction products. So this is, again, a challenge I will address later, but this is something that you need to consider. So if you are now thinking to move to a standardization request to solve your problems, you will need to deal with Basel Requirement 7. Okay? So this is more or less the agreement, and this is how we have been working. There are some specificities of this standardization request, but I'm not going to go into the details. The other standardization request is reinforcing steel. It's the topic that was discussed for a long time. And again, one of the key issues is, well, Basic Requirement 3 is not implemented because there are no requirements. But in Basic Requirement 7, they have specific implementation approaches. So you see that the system is more or less starting to run. And I go a bit in detail to the two main topics that we have as regards standardization requests or in general. The first is dangerous substances. There is a document of GIS Action 5 I presented this morning about dangerous substances. We have some discussions during the last 8 years, I think, about this. We have SENTI C351, we have the assessment methods. Today we are in this situation. We have different requirements in different member states for something that is in the mandate and is regulated. And we have an assessment method. So we need to go forward on this, but it's not been easy at all. So this clause is forbidden. You cannot write that the national requirements apply. Forget it. I think we said it. Nuno said that. I said that. I said it again. Forget it. You need to implement the clause. You need to implement the clause for dangerous substances. But of course, this is not easy, again, going back to the discussion. Because if in the mandate you don't have enough information, it won't be possible to do it. And if in the mandate you have a detailed list, how to do it is the challenge. But of course, if you are going for a standardization request, you need to try to find a solution for this. So what do you need? First, you need a list. The list of substances to be in the standard. And this is not something you decide. It needs to come either from the mandate or it needs to be explicitly described in the standardization request. You may have some questions. What about if my product doesn't contain one of the substances, how I'm going to declare something that cannot happen? Okay. All these discussions in the past were the answer to the mandate. You could explain there is no content, so there is no release. Now, if you are going for the standardization request, I think you should really put this information in the standardization request to avoid problems. If you don't want to declare a substance because there is no content, you need to clarify in the standardization request, because otherwise, when the Commission will check the list of the standardization request and your standard, there will be a problem. So I think this is possible because you already have a lot of experience, and this is, I think, the way forward. We need assessment methods. This is the second message. You go to SENTI C350 catalog, and you can check. There are a lot of test methods already available. In the document of GIS Action 5 already tells you what to do. If you don't find one, you may need to ask for one, or you may need to find a way to develop it. But in general, you should be able to use one of these assessment methods. Based on the listener's approach, it means that you will always declare the release because this is what is mandated, but it doesn't mean that this is a question coming all the time. Do I need to check every production lot, the release? No. You can have a factory production control that allows you to be sure that the release is okay. So you can have, as I said, content as a proxy of the release if it is the less onerous. But again, all these discussions, you should not have them in the TC, take a decision, and then face the the HAS consultant or the commission. If you manage to solve these problems in the standardization request, it will be easy for you to deal with it in the future. And also, you need a way to declare it. The default option in the CPR is level, which is not really a very good name, but is just a value, so a number with units, or a classification. If you want to have a classification, back to the discussion this morning, delegated act. You need to ask for a delegated act for the classification. We have been, I don't know how many years, discussing a delegated act for the classification of POC. We don't have it. I don't know how long we will have to wait or what needs to change in the discussion, but if you don't have this delegated act, you cannot have a declaration with the classification. So in this case, the only option you have now is the declaration of values, which is not easy and is not fast and probably will be quite long because you may have to declare 100 substances, but this is the only way forward we have now. You will need to put the list in the CE marking and in the DOP, which I know is a pain, but this is the regulation, and we are back to the restrictions this morning. I think we should add, in the short term, we cannot change also the CPR. So the CPR says that you need to have the performance in the CE marking. And we, in Construction Produce Europe, we are working to have this digitalization tool that will allow you to declare in a digital format that will allow your customers and the recipient of the information to really take it. And I think this is really a quite pragmatic approach that we will have ready, I hope, very soon. We have already worked on it for a long time, and we have tested, and it works. But of course, we need also some regulators to really accept and be aware of this. But we have not finished, and this is more for your TCs, something that you need to do. Imagine that you are in a situation that you have all the lists, you have the assessment method, you decide that you are going to declare the values. You need to draft the clause. Always the rule is European approach, always, but you need to really be careful and to cover these three different pieces of requirements. You need to focus your declaration on a product type. You need to define the product types also for the release of tangible substances. You need to go for the less onerous way. If you don't go, probably your experts and your industry will complain a lot, so I think this is the right approach. And you need to define also what value is going to be declared, which is not always straightforward. So this is the definition of product type. In the core of the definition is, if the performance changes, you change the product type. So every time one of the performances, and you will have a list of substances, change, you change the product type. You need to consider this. So when you will draft your standard, you need to consider that manufacturers will need to be careful with this, and you need to provide a solution. Of course, you can always declare a worst case, or you can have different options, but this is something that is very important. And what are the challenges of this? So if I change my raw materials, but the performance doesn't change, what do I do? I should draft a new DOP if I change my provider, even if the performance doesn't change. If I change my supplier, but it's the same raw material and the performance is again the same. So this is the kind of things that you need to really understand, because for dangerous substances, this could have an impact. Factory production control. Again, you don't need to test every production batch with the testing of developing in the CNTC 351. You should have a factory production control that will allow you to be sure that the performance is okay. And that's it. You can have testing according to another method, content, other proxies, or anything. And this is also quite an important message, because the cost of a test is not low, and it's also complex, and it takes 28 days, for example. So don't think that just having the reference to the CNTC 351 standard will be enough. You need also to allow this, and this is the approach. But of course, it's a decision of the manufacturer. You cannot really say, okay, we will deliver this information. No, but this is how it should work. And the last, which is quite important, what are you going to declare? You are going to declare an average value. You are going to declare with the value of five samples, single value. This is also a challenge because you know there are regulations already in place in Germany and the Netherlands, and the approach for the declaration is not the same. So, and this is not allowed anymore. So once it is implemented in the standard, you will need to have a European system, and that's it. So again, a lot of challenges related to the Basel Requirement 3, a lot of discussions, and I hope this is more or less what will give you some ideas on how to implement this. And the next is the environmental performance. This is, if you think Basel Requirement 3 was difficult, then this will be even worse. The first message, I think the most important message. What is the goal of declaring environmental performance of products? It's not a comparison product to product. It's not to deliver information to the customer just because we want to deliver information. It's not because somebody from the commission decided to create an LCA assessment at that time and they thought it was okay. No. What we want is to have an assessment of the buildings on the basis of information from the construction products. Okay, I put here levels because this is a European initiative to do an assessment of buildings according to information coming from construction products. But there are others. So you have DGNB, you have HQE, there are different tools. National tools, European tools, I don't care. What I care is about the single declaration of performance from construction products. Because if we are promoting an internal market free of barriers to trade, the only way will be to declare once for every product, and it should be enough to do the assessment at building level. Okay, so that's the goal. How to achieve this goal is the challenge, because it's not so easy. For those of you who think, okay, but we already have it. We have EPDs according to 15804. Yes and no. You go to France and Germany and Austria with the same EPD, and you will find barriers to trade. They will tell you, no, this information is not valid. You need to achieve this, that, or the other. So from the point of view of the industry, we need harmonization. I don't say that we need to implement it through the CPR, because this is something that we have discussed. And depending on the industry, you will have more positive replies or more negative replies. So the good point, again, 15804 is there. Unique declaration at European level to ensure that the system really works. And the last is very important. Some people said, no, this 15804 is a kind of competitive approach to PEF. No. We have revised 15804, and now the declaration of performance in EPDs has the same indicators, the same methodology that PEF. There are some differences, and the differences are because we are not consumer products. In other words, the product for us is the building, and we are just delivering information to deliver to calculate the performance of the building. But the core of the system is the same than PEF. And we were struggling the last years to achieve this goal, so please don't tell anymore that this is not in line with PEF. I think the work was not easy, and also we had a lot of discussions in CEN, and this is a kind of deliverable that we have managed to do. Again, every time we discuss EPDs, oh, what about third-party verifications? In 15804, we have third-party validation, which is not exactly what we do in the CPR. Yes, it is true. Our approach in voluntary EPDs is a bit different. Well, again, I don't really care much. So we need a system according to the CPR. And there is already a proposal from the European Commission on an IVCP system for Basel Requirement 7. It's not easy, but we need to implement it. So something that is clear, and this is, I think, general goal, there should be a third-party assessment. And also, we need to develop something that will be cost-efficient. Because if we are asking that the notified body will do the assessment for every product, this is not working. An assessment is very expensive, but I think there are tools to do it, and we need to discuss this in detail. I think there is a chance to develop a system that will validate a software tool to do the calculation. So this is something that we need to work. It's not done. It's ongoing, and the Commission already presented a proposal. So I think this is one of the first points that we need to solve. The second is, again, what happens if I have some different approaches for the buildings? The buildings are not different, not the same in the different countries. In some countries, you have more recycling. In other countries, you have another approach to the how you manage, how you work with the products. So again, the only way is to really harmonize it. The 15804 harmonize the general rules, but we need to harmonize the specific rules. There are some information that if it is not properly harmonized, it will never work, because you will go with your EPD to France or to Germany or to Spain, and they will tell you, no, this is not valid, because in our country we do it in a different way. Okay? So the solution that we have discussed is to have a kind of, we call, parametric approach, where you declare all the options, and then during the assessment of the building, you really do the calculation according to the reality of your country. This is a very easy example. So end of life, so the module C3 is the end of life of the product. So when you take your product and you decide to do something with it, no disposal, which is C4. In C3 is, what are you going to do with your product? Reuse, recycle, or recover, or burn it for energy. What I'm going to do? It depends. In every member state, the ratios are different. We declare all, and then you decide. But this is possible now. The standard already doesn't say anything, and we have discussed, and some manufacturers, for example, are already doing this. But we need to really have clear rules. And the rules should be in the product category rules, which is a document that's already done, and should be explicitly in the standardization request. Because this is the kind of discussions that can be totally out of control if you leave it to the TC in a later stage, and we will have continuous discussions. MPD option is another example. The Commission said all or nothing. Why? Because, of course, some people could have the temptation to just declare global warming potential because they are very good in global warming potential. But again, the goal is the assessment of the building. So you need to have full information, and in the end, you will take the decision. But you cannot start cutting the information in the previous stages. And the last is also quite important. The CPR is, I think, not so bad, because there is an option for sharing and cascading, which means that if you have a very disaggregated market with SMEs that will not have enough money to really spend on LCA, you can use sharing, you can join together, have a calculation, and declare all together the same performance. In the case you have big companies in the construction chain, you can use cascading, and you can request the information from your providers about the environmental performance. And the CPR is quite flexible on that. And you, don't need to do anything different. So you just need to be careful and apply this. There are other issues that are a bit more difficult. The first is very important. Background data sets. So if you go to different markets, you may have problems, because if you use the information for transport taken from one database, they don't like it, and you go to the country, just the neighbor, and they will say that what is not valid in the other is valid here, and the opposite. We need background data sets for the calculations, so this is a must. We cannot play this game without it. In PEF, they did it. They bought the data sets because they already identified this need, and this is not something the industry can do, but we can request the European Commission to solve this problem. Another important point is, how often are we going to revise our DOPs? Because, for example, quite obvious, one of the manufacturers said the energy mix changes every year. So I have to redo my LCA every year because, of course, the performance of my products changes every year? Probably yes. So how are we going to deal with this? Of course, we need to ensure that the system is flexible enough to allow manufacturers to do this kind of changes with a limited cost. And this is something that we need to also solve. And the last is also quite important. Again, this is in the CE marking. So the CE marking now, if you add basic requirement 3, basic requirement 7, you will have 3-4 pages or even more of really, I don't know, 2,000 numbers or whatever. So I think there is, again, a need to have a digitalized option. I think, really, there is no way out of that. Because, of course, if you want to do a calculation that is precise enough and consider the energy mix every year, you will also need to have a software to do the calculation, and then it will be easy if this software already delivers something that is computer readable and it works. Again, we are already in our smart CE marking discussing, because there is already an ISO standard on how to deliver EPDs in a BIM format, and we are discussing how to integrate this smart CE marking into this approach. So again, I wouldn't say that it is easy. Of course, it's very difficult. All I'm trying to explain to you are difficult steps, but they are not something that we cannot overpass. I think we are fulfilling, again, the requirements explained this morning. And the final conclusions, now that you are almost sleeping, we are here waiting. We push the button, and this is what we have done. We are waiting to have the green light on this. You can consider that the industry is willing to do it, but of course it's very difficult to tell your people working in a standardization, go to Brussels to discuss this and that, knowing that your standard probably will be blocked. And what we need is commitment from the European Commission, Member States, CEN, to really transform this standardization request approach into something that really works. I think we cannot wait 5 years, sorry, or 7 years for the CPR revision. We need to work now. So if the work is 1 year of discussion and the implementation of EPDs, and okay, we need to do it. But we cannot really wait for a new legislative framework that we don't know how it will work, or if we wait, we will lose all our advantages. And we have already lost some of them because of the problem with our stupid system that doesn't allow us to go forward. So really, this is something we need to solve. And I don't think the system is so bad. I think the problem is that we need to move it. I think the wheels are there, and we need to put some lubricant to really make it work, because the problem is now that we just say, oh, it's not moving, and we don't care anymore. We have problems. I think we have solutions. We need dialogue, and this is, I think, a good place to say that. We have been speaking for 3 years in GIS Action 5. We have BT Working Group 9. I think the Commission is also willing to speak about this, to develop joint solutions. Again, we need the member states there. It's very obvious that Basic Requirement 3 and Basic Requirement 7 will not work if we don't have also the commitment of member states. And once we will have this, the idea is to have clear rules that will allow us to really go forward. I want to have the discussions about the legal issues before we start drafting the standard, not after. Because this is why one of the reasons why we are so blocked in some cases. So again, after exhausting you after lunch, I think